Have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, Silas shared about how he's overcome some hurdles in the past year or so and just really still standing, he's standing taller. So the hurdles are still there, but he's standing taller. I like that. But they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, if anybody wants to write that down. But there's, yeah, amen. Well, tonight, before we get into our message, I want to just encourage you, get involved in the churches left the building. We are putting together little boxes for college students this year to help them with test time. We've got a display set up in the foyer. If you consider this your church, or even if you're visiting and want to just get involved, that'd be great too. But if you consider this your church, I really believe that we have an obligation to get involved. I really do. I mean, it's not just about getting together and having services. Listen, if we don't reach out and make a difference and really make an impact in our community, we have failed to let our light shine. Our light shines when we reach out and we help other people by the Spirit of God who can't do anything for us, who can't return the favor, so to speak. And what a great opportunity. What we're putting together, boxes for college students who have come through the foster care program and now going on to college. We also have some infant items and some baby and toddler items that you can purchase anywhere from $5 to $170, like baby monitors, baby wipes, cribs, cradles. I mean, there's just all kinds of things. So the price point is good that anybody can get involved in this. So get involved. Check out the table. Find out what it is that God would have you to purchase. And then those items we're going to bring on April 21st. Say April.
April.
Say 21st. April 21st. That's 2 weeks from this Sunday. So you got plenty of time, but we're going to bring them all here, and we're going to put them into a truck, and then we're going to take them after service over to DHS to a storage unit that they've got where they can keep these things throughout the year. So get involved. Get involved, and let's make a difference in kids' lives who are going through the foster care system. We just believe in that so strongly. All right. Well, tonight we want to continue our series on Wednesday nights. We've been on for a while. We're probably going to be on it for quite some time, looking at some stories in the Old Testament, stories of men and women of God who believed God, lived by faith, walked by faith. And tonight, I want to talk about a character in the Old Testament. We're probably going to be on this for a few weeks. I don't know how long. I mean, 2 years, almost 3 years ago, I did a series, a little over 2 years, not almost three, but just over 2 years ago, I did a series where we went through the life of Joseph. And we called it Principles of Promotion. And really, it was just, I mean, it was like a 13-week series. I don't think we're going to go that long on Joseph. But there's just so many things to learn from the life of Joseph. Joseph was a man just like us, with a vision and a dream from God. But from the time that he actually received the dream from God and the time that he saw it fulfilled was approximately 44 years. That's a long time. If you look at what happened when he was called at 17, didn't really get into the position that God had for him till the age of 30. Then there were 7 years of famine, 7 years of abundance rather than 7 years of famine. So he's somewhere around 44 years old by the time he's reunited with his brothers and his father. Now we're going to take time to go through parts of that so you don't have to remember all that tonight. But when you look at that, there was a process, say process, that God took him through. Now listen, every one of us has a dream and a vision from God. And if you don't know what it is, then you haven't had spent enough time to find out. You know, we said before, every one of us is in full-time ministry. Every one of us. God chooses to pay the bills through different avenues. And that's what we call work, okay? That's a job. But God has a place and a purpose. Say place.
Place.
Say purpose.
Purpose.
For each and every one of us. But really, we have to get a hold of that ourselves. And the way you get a hold of that is by seeking God. But just because you find out and God speaks something to you doesn't mean it's just going to happen automatically. Come on, somebody. See, God will do what we cannot do. How many believe that? God will do what we cannot do. But listen, this is just as important. God will not do what we can do. Okay? And there's a process, and we kind of really partner with God. And the whole process is God is really taking us on this journey together, teaching us how to be more sensitive to his voice, how to learn about his ways, and to really follow him on this journey to where we hear him and we're in him we live and move and have our being, right? you know, Jesus said that man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth. Those kinds of things where we're learning to trust God in every situation. And we said before, but what we find out really, I believe, in the life of Joseph, and you can see it, we're probably not going to turn there tonight, but in Psalm 105, it talks about how until his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. All right? And when you look at that, and the idea you get from the words that are used there, it's the word or the spoken word or prophetic utterance, if you will. Until the prophetic utterance of God came to pass, then the word of God or literal word, like when you read through the Bible, the literal word tested him. And what I really believe we see from that is we need a prophetic word from God. We need a word that says, I am going to do this in your life, Christy. This is what I want you to do. I want you to reach out to your neighbors. I want you to take someone a cake. And I know you're a good cook, so this would fall right in line. Or God wants you to reach out to a certain group of people every week or whatever, people that you see already on a regular basis. It could be in your neighborhood. It could be people that you work with. It's more than, now we come to church just to learn and to be equipped, but how many know God has you somewhere to let your light shine, right? And so you need to know what that purpose is. God, why do I have the job that I have? I will never forget, and it just amazes me to this day. I got saved when I was 31 years old, and I was working at a job that I had been at for some 17 years. And this just says all about God and not about me, so I don't mind sharing it. People can say, oh, you just want to talk about yourself. No, this is all about God. And I got born again, and I'm telling you, my life transformed. And every day for the remaining, whatever, 3 or 4 years that I stayed there after becoming born again, I transformed that place by the Spirit of God on the inside. God transformed that place, really, by the Spirit of God on the inside. I mean, it was amazing, the people that I prayed with, the people I led to the Lord. The people that I even invited a few to church, not all of them. It's okay to invite people to church, but you know what? That's not what it's all about. But teaching people the ways of God. And all it really takes is being excited, getting a hold of a plan of God for your life. And I didn't even know everything God, I didn't know that God was going to have me pastor in a church in Traverse City 23 years later. I didn't know that. All I knew is what he had done for me, and he did that for everybody, and I wanted to tell him. And so I knew that that was my, I mean, I would get up in the morning and I would pray, just like I pray for you all now and how I pray for Traverse City. I would pray and I would say, God, today I am believing for something to happen for the kingdom of heaven. And I would get to that place and I'm telling you, I had to pray because there were some days, how many know, you know, it's just like, good thing you did your prayers before you got into that, all right? And you walk in the door and it was just, but, and you know, you'd have, sometimes you'd have spiritual warfare and stuff you'd have to do. And but there was always open doors and always opportunities. But just like Joseph, you and I all have calls of God, but there's a process that God wants to take us on. And so many people I see, now we see through the life of Joseph, as you'll find out over the next few weeks, that he went through these trials, if you will, these tests, whatever you want to call them, and he passed them. He really did. He went through all these things, and he saw the word of the Lord come to pass in his life. But you know, unfortunately, that is not the case with many Christians. They don't see the will of God transform or come to pass, I should say, in their lives. And so many times it's because there's a test or a challenge that we're facing, we don't get past. You can call it an obstacle. I don't care what you call it. But I've seen so many people, they just kind of stop where they are, and they say, oh, God doesn't have a call for me, and they give up. And I think many people even go to their graves not accomplishing what God had for them because of a trial, because of a test. But when we understand that, listen, God calls us and he doesn't change his mind. It says in Corinthians that the gifts and the call of God are without repentance. That means he doesn't take them back. God calls you, he equips you, and it's for life, baby. That's it. Look what it says. Genesis 37:5. It says, now Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. I love that. We're going to stop there for a minute. He told it to his brothers and they hated him. Hated him even, they already hated him, but here it says they hated him even more, all right? They hated him because he was his father's favorite. You read the story, all right? But they really hated him now because, and you'll see in a little bit, we'll read some scriptures, they called him dreamer. And I don't know this for a fact, but I think about it, and they even say things like, see, that dreamer's coming now. I think, you know, Joseph was just, he was just like, oh, God spoke this to me, and I'm pretty cool, and I got dad's, you know, I'm dad's favorite. I got the coat of many colors on. Now, there's a whole prophetic message to this. We're not going to spend a bunch of time on that. We're going to just look at Joseph as a man. And, you know, he probably had a little bit of pride going on. You say, how do you know, Pastor Tony? Because he was a man, that's why. All right, he was a man. And the vision God gave him was pretty big. All right? Showing you that your family is going to bow down to you, even your parents. That you are like going to be at the top. All right? And people will be bowing down to you. That's a pretty hefty dream. But let me just say tonight, dream big with God. Will you do that? Dream big with God. If your dream is not bigger than you, it's not God. Okay? If you can accomplish it on your own, it's not God. And let me just say this. Don't compare yourself with somebody else. Don't compare your dream with someone else. All right? That is the best way to get yourself in trouble. All right? This pride will get in, and pride will either make you think you're better than you are or not as good as you are. One or the other. And it'll mess you up. Don't compare yourself. But also, be careful who you share your dreams with. God speaks something to you. Go to people you trust and share it. But go to someone. You know, find someone. That's it. Tell you, that is why it's so important to be involved in the life of the body of Christ. It really is. To be in a small group, to have someone you can meet with, someone that's mentoring you so that you can disciple other people. Our women meet weekly. Our men meet weekly. We have small groups that meet weekly. We have a Thursday night group that meets weekly. We have Wednesday services like this. There's all kinds of things. Get involved. And I'm probably preaching to the choir on Wednesday night, but still, get involved in small groups. Get involved in some kind of a small group, but be careful who you share your dreams with. Sometimes you share them with the wrong people, and they'll hate you even more. How many are they, you know? They just hate you even more. And you don't need that frustration. You don't need to make things happen, all right? You do not need to make things happen. Humility knows how to keep quiet, I believe. And humility will just rest on it and believe God for it to come to pass. And here's the thing. I think so many times, and I've seen people get messed up this way, where they start to pursue the call and forget about pursuing God. Where you make the call or the dream or the vision more important than spending time with God. I've seen this happen so many times. I've seen people, they go through school. They go through 7 years of seminary. I mean, how do you need 7 years of seminary to really... No. Now, if God's calling you to go to Bible school, go to Bible school, go to college, do whatever God's showing you to do. Don't misunderstand me. But sometimes we just overstudy. Okay, now I'm ready. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe you need to hear the voice of God a little bit clearer. Now, you got the vision, but then you got on this path, and pretty soon you stopped hearing God's voice. I've seen so many people started off okay, but they're not even hearing God's voice anymore. They got so caught up, well, I'm going to make this thing happen. I'm going to make this thing happen. I have seen pastors frustrate themselves and people in their congregations by, I'm going to make this happen. This is the, not that the dream didn't come from God, but they forgot who the author of that dream was. And they started to think it was theirs. And when things don't happen, well, then we start to maneuver things and we start to manipulate things to happen. And then we just start frustrating people and we frustrate ourselves and we frustrate the grace of God. You know, you can frustrate the Holy Spirit right out of your life. Might be on your way to heaven, but you're not hearing clearly, all right? But pursue God. Allow Him to promote you. Let the plan of God develop and unfold. And that's what we see in the life of Joseph. And I want to talk a little bit tonight just about pride, okay? And again, these are things that I believe that God taught Joseph. And Joseph went through these things, and I believe that he overcame them, and he got an A on his paper, if you will. But there are things that we can see, things he went through that I believe definitely dealt with pride in his life that will also deal with pride in our lives. And there's several things we'll talk about. Tonight I want to talk about pride because that is the one thing that is going to mess you up. You get a dream from God, a vision from God, and it should be big, but then pride starts to get in. It starts to make us think that we're something, you know, special apart from God. We sang that song tonight that nothing is impossible for those who believe in God. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing, but with me, you can do anything. So if you're with him, you can do anything, but if you're apart from him, you can do nothing. And that's where pride comes into play. I want to just read about pride a little bit. Isaiah 14, best picture of pride in the Bible. Isaiah 14, speaking of Lucifer and his fall from heaven. Verse 13, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. We're going to probably get to the pit a little bit tonight too, but going through the pit. But that's just a picture of pride. Whenever we start to really exalt ourselves above, listen, when you're on this journey that God is taking you on, whatever he's spoken to your heart, don't forget that without him, you are nothing special, okay? People are what it's all about. People are important. And as soon as we start to think we're what it's all about, that's where pride starts to get in. It all starts with the things that we say to ourselves, the things that we speak to ourselves. I will prevail no matter what. It's like I said, I've seen so many people shipwreck their lives and others by just saying that we are going to make this happen. It is going to happen or else. And it failed miserably. So many times I've seen it happen. It is not what God has for best for us. Because we start to get this attitude, I will prevail. And what we start to think is we'll do it with or without God. And if you're in pride, I guarantee you're going to do it without God. Because God does not promote pride. We start to think that we're going to pursue our dreams. Understand, yeah, it's your dream, but God gave it to you. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. You and I not only get the dream and the vision from God, but we continue to get instructions from God as we go. And we can never forget that spending time in his presence, worshiping him, praying, seeking him, keeping our hearts humble is the most important thing we can do to fulfill the call of God. And I really believe, I want to say this tonight, that the root of pride, I believe, is insecurity. The root of pride is insecurity. The fruit of insecurity is pride. We'll just say it that way. And insecurity, all insecurity, I believe, is rooted in fear. Fear that people won't value us the way that we are or whom we are. Always looking for something new to validate us. I see this so often. I see people that God speaks something to them and you see a call of God on their lives. Because listen, we all have a call of God. That's not hard to discern. And, you know, and it's like, yeah, that's God. And they start to pursue it. And God starts to shape them and starts to help them. And they go through a trial a little bit. And it might get a little bit uneasy. And then, okay, maybe a year, might be 2 years. Hopefully, sometimes I've seen it just a few months. And it's like, well, no, God's doing this now. Well, wait a minute. What did he forget about that? Or so what is it God's going to do? Listen, you and I need to really hone in on what God wants to do in our lives. All right? See, I know that God has called me to pastor a church in these times to raise up people who realize their call. All right? And I'm doing the best I can for that. That's my call. All right? And to preach the gospel when I'm doing it to every person that I come in contact with. But we all have to do that. But whatever it is God's called you to do, stick with it. Stick with it. God didn't change his mind. It wasn't this call last year and this call this year. And now next year you'll have something else. That is not what God does. God stays true to the call that he places. It says that he chose us before the foundation of the world. Do you think he's confused? Right? Trials come, but trials go. Come on, somebody. All right? I said trials come, but trials go. All right? And trials go the quickest when you endure them and just keep on going. Keep on moving. Pride. We feel a need to tell everyone or prove to everyone how great we are. If we're not the center of attention, we may cover it up sometimes, but we pout. You know, God may be preparing you for I don't know what. And right now you're in a, God's spoken this vision to you, but you're in a job and you feel like, boy, I'm never going to get to this vision in this job that God has me in right now. Well, you're looking at your job wrong. Your job is the harvest. And you know what Jesus said about the harvest? That it's great, but the laborers are few. Why? Because most people don't get it. All right? Stay on track. Continue to believe God for the dream that he's placed in your heart, but be humble enough to realize that where you are, God wants 110%. Come on, somebody. You can't just, I have had so many people over the years come up to me and say, oh, pastor, I'd be doing great, but this job I'm in is just, oh, it's this job. It is not that job, all right? Thank God you have that job. Come on, somebody. All right?
It's putting food on the table. Putting shoes on your feet. But amen, that's right. I heard that. Shoes, baby. But remember that God placed you there for a harvest. And you're the laborer. So while you're believing God for the dream that he's placed in your heart, serve him where you are. And you see that in the life of Joseph. I don't want to get ahead of myself, and we'll see that. He went through some rough times, but you know, Joseph kept serving. He kept believing God for the dream, but he didn't run around all puffed up. Because God had dealt with pride early on with him, I believe. And so he got it. Jesus didn't need to validate himself with the devil. When the devil came and said, if you're the Son of Man, all right? He tempts him in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4. And he tempts him in the wilderness. Jesus didn't prove, I mean, Jesus, how many know? He could have just went, kapow! Out of there, baby. Gone. Done. This is Jesus, right? Jesus and the devil is not like, you know, number one is God and then the devil is just a close number two. That is not the truth. The Bible says he's under our feet. Come on, somebody. So Jesus, I mean, matter of fact, he even said in the garden, talking to his disciples, don't you know that I could have called and my Father would have sent legions of angels? But he chose not to because he knew what God had called him to do. The Bible says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He knew his call. And you and I should know our call, all right? But he didn't have to validate himself. He just says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you know the story. He didn't have to validate himself. Pride is concerned, listen carefully, and consumed with how things look. Humility is concerned with the will of God. Pride's always concerned with how things look or what people say or what people think. If nobody has anything bad to say about you, then you're not doing anything right. Let me just say that. You are not doing what you're supposed to do. It's the truth. It's the truth. Matter of fact, let me just add this here. We need to hear this. This is good. If everything's comfortable in your life, let me pray for you tonight because you're not supposed to be comfortable. I'm being honest with you. You should love your pastor. If everything is just comfortable in your life, listen, if everything's comfortable, the devil ain't worried about you. Now, I'm not saying that everywhere you turn, you got a catastrophe, because that's a whole other issue. All right, that's not what I'm talking about. Let me put it this way. You and I should feel pressure that we are never totally satisfied with where we are right now. Not depressed, but not satisfied. If you're satisfied, you're in trouble. That's pride. We should always feel like, oh, God, my relationship with you is just, it's not what I want it to be. But you know, when you live that way, your relationship is not what it was yesterday because you're growing. You have this, I'll just call it this holy discontentment. You need to nurture that. You need to nurture that. And there's times of refreshing and all that. But if your life is just comfortable, got it made in the shade, feet up, head in the sand, you are not really pursuing the call of God. All right? Again, I'm not saying everything's going wrong in your life because that's not right either. I'm just talking inside you feel like, boy, I'm just not satisfied. Because listen, not being satisfied is what keeps you hungry and keeps you driving. All right? We need to continue to stay hungry for the presence of God and for the call of God and for what he's doing in our lives. The presence of God is really where it's at. In fact, let's see what Jesus said about pride. This scripture will help us. This is Mark chapter 8, verse 31. It says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. He's starting to teach the disciples about the fact that he's going to go to the cross and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. 32. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke. Now, can you imagine rebuking Jesus? No way, Jesus! You're wrong! But don't we do that? God, I know you're wrong. I ain't supposed to be working in this job. I know I'm not supposed to be here or there, but I'm supposed to be over there. I mean, come on. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Verse 33. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. And he said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." You're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Listen, if you're concerned about how things feel, how things look, what other people think, you are in trouble of being tempted or really given over to pride completely. You need to be concerned with the things of God. Here, Jesus is talking. Understand, the disciples probably thought, and it's reasonable to think this way, that they thought Jesus was going to set up a worldly kingdom. And you and I would have believed the same thing. If we were brought up in the Jewish culture, knew the prophecies as they did, waiting for a king, knew that they had been given over to a foreign conquering country, you know, Roman rule, had been conquered before that. The Romans were just the latest one, but always waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the deliverer. You and I would think the same thing. Okay, he is going to lead us into freedom. He is going to be the king of Israel, right? And so we would have thought the same thing. And so when he starts to say, "Well, I'm going to suffer and I'm going to die," they're like, "What? That was not their plan." Now, the call of God was still the same, that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is establishing his kingdom, and he will rule and reign in this world. But not now. You and I have a process of declaring the kingdom, prophetically declaring, walking in the power of the kingdom, winning souls for Christ, and then he will establish his kingdom physically, if you will. Okay, just put it that way. I don't have time to go through all these prophecies, but that's what the Bible teaches, all right? So it wasn't time back then, but it was reasonable for them to think that. But as soon as they saw it wasn't going to happen, they freaked out, just like you and I would. And Jesus, in essence, Jesus is saying, look, you are concerned with how things look right now in this time for you. And I call you Satan. He didn't even say you're like Satan. He said, Satan, because Satan had started to enter the heart of Peter. All right. Other than Judas, you know, Peter was the one who really denied Jesus, according to Scripture, denied Jesus the strongest. All right. And of course, he came back and Jesus restored him and he went on and fulfilled his call. But Jesus looks at him and says, Satan, get behind me. You're concerned with the things of men and not things of God. That's what pride does. 2 Corinthians 10:17, he says, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord, for not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Listen, don't you worry about making things happen for yourself. Don't you worry about promoting yourself. You let God promote you. You let God promote you. I remember I started to sense the call of God, well, when I got born again, but I started to really sense the call of God that I would be a pastor of a church, like the lead pastor, like I am now. Probably, I'm thinking now, I have to remember, probably some 12 years ago, roughly, okay? 12 years ago. And it's been just 3 years that I've been the primary teacher and running with the vision God gave us in this church plant, all right? So that's 9 years that it took, just a process, series of things. I was on staff in 3 other churches as executive pastor. And even though I felt that, you know, I didn't run around trying to be the lead pastor in that church. I even had somebody once, and I believe it was the Lord, who prophesied over me that I would pastor this church. Now, some of you don't know the whole history of this church, so I'm not going to bore you with it. But Trish and I were on staff of this church, or I was. Trish was married to me. I was 17 years ago. And so I was the worship leader when this church first got planted, and just some things just didn't work out with the senior pastor and some mistakes and things like that. And back then, someone spoke a prophetic word, and I know it was God. You're going to pastor this church. Now, how many know, and this was before things went upside down. I could have like, yeah, I'm pretty bad. There were opportunities I had to preach when the pastor wasn't in town. I could have got full of myself. Was I tempted? Sure. But you know, I just said, you know what? I'm content with what God has me to do. And then we went and we served another pastor in Ionia. We served another pastor in Newaygo. Continued to serve him moving back up here in a video campus until God finally released it to us 3 years ago. It'll be 3 years ago this summer. You know, I never promoted myself, not once. I never once filled out an application for a job
as a pastor? Not once. Never sent a resume? Not once. Could have. I could write a resume just like anybody. Make it look better than it really is, just like we all do. But you know, I just believe God that in the gift that he put in my life and the call, and you know what got me through? Serving people. Serving people. Because listen, disappointments are going to come. Catastrophes are going to come. Opportunities are going to come. But they go. Opportunities for improvement. OFIs. An OFI. But you know, you just keep, you know what God said. And what he said, I remember, there were, God spoke to me and I didn't even know the fullness of it. I'm thinking this is years ago. And there was a proverb that says that a faithful servant will rule over a son who causes shame and have an inheritance among the brethren. I'd have to find you the proverb, but that's it, word for word. Because I know it. God spoke to me. And I remember he spoke that to me and said, that's you. You'll be a faithful, wise servant, and you'll rule over a son who causes shame and have an inheritance. I remember he spoke that to me, and I thought, oh, does that mean that the place I worked, if something's going to happen, they're going to promote me, and I'm going to run that place? I didn't know. But you know, I've seen the fulfillment of that now, that I served, and because of the failures or whatever mistakes of the person who was planted in this church originally, I have now been brought to a place of honor to lead. I'm just talking openly to you because I want you to realize that God's faithful. God will bring you to where he's called you. But don't get out there and think you have to make it happen. And don't cast off restraint and just live life for yourself. Serve people. Pray for the place that you work. I mean, Trish remembers there was a time I went through that God was taking me out of a job I had, and it was not a good place to stay. Okay, it was not a good situation, wasn't making enough money. God provided for our family, taught us a lot about tithing and giving and supporting missions. It was awesome. But we didn't have two nickels to scrape together, but man, we had the joy of the Lord. Do you remember that? It was awesome. Just like now. It don't matter. Well, I have two nickels now that I can scrape together. But but you know, it's all God's anyway. But I remember in that time that God was moving me, and I knew he was moving me on, and I loved what he was doing so much. And I knew it wasn't the end of what he had for me, but I didn't want to leave. Do you know when you put yourself completely into the call of God, the place you are right now, to reach the group of people that God has you there to reach, if you submerge yourself in that completely and surround yourself in his presence and pursue him, do you know your life will work out for the glory of God? But we get all these thoughts and these things, and when they don't turn out the way that we thought they would, well, God said I'm going to be a prophet to the nations. Well, God said I'm an evangelist. God said I'm an apostle. Okay. Most time people that act like that don't even know what the heck they're talking. They don't even know what they're talking about. Matter of fact, most of the body of Christ has no idea what the fivefold ministry is about. We got it all messed up. Really. Fivefold ministry is to equip us to do the work of the ministry where we are, all right? Bottom line, that's what it's for. Not so people can come and worship at the apostles' feet. I saw a friend of mine tweeted the other day. By the way, Aaron was putting it up there. If you tweet me, follow me, all right? If you do that, please do that. We can pass things around. You can. I love that. It's so awesome. Get on there. Tweet me. It'd be real tweet if you tweet me, all right? Smooth. A friend of mine tweeted this, and I believe it to be true because he's, you know, I know him, I know his character. He said, I was just watching Christian television. Now, all Christian television is not bad, and I'm not saying that. It's some good stuff, and I watch it. There's good stuff, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I just thought it was hilarious because I've also seen stuff that's on. It's like, beep, I turn it off just like I would a bad commercial. Sorry, I'm just being honest. And he put this tweet, he said, I was just watching Christian television and an evangelist saying, send in your miracle seed
of $1,000 and receive your miracle. And he's preaching this way with a disclaimer on the screen that said, miracles are not guaranteed. And I thought to myself, why? That's what I thought to myself. Why? God didn't give the fivefold ministry for us to give money to. Now, I believe in supporting the fivefold ministry. God provides them. And there's just all kinds of scripture that says that don't muzzle the mouth of the ox. And that's talking about ministry. And it's okay. And I believe in a tithe. And I believe in supporting ministry. Don't misunderstand me. But we have turned it into this thing that's just totally not what God has. You are called to be a minister where you are. All right? Not to come and just watch the Pastor Tony show. And it's a good show because I am a comedian. And Renee said, that was tweet, right? She loves my, you ought to see her smile right now. The humor. Okay. And we should be a part of the body of Christ. And we should be bringing our tithes and offerings. But you understand what tithes and offering teaches you? How to walk in faith. How to walk in faith. And then we distribute it and we use it to the best of our ability, what God has put on our hearts for ministry, to be able to reach out and to really to equip you and then to reach out and make a difference in our community. I'm getting way off my notes, but that's okay because we got lots of weeks to study Joseph. But listen, I want to just leave you with this thought as we talk about pride a little bit. We're just going to finish with that. God has a call on your life. Do not belittle that call. Don't overinflate yourself thinking that, oh, well, God surely has to be something greater than. Listen, the call of God is great, but the Bible says don't despise the day of small beginnings. You got to start where you are. Reach the sphere of people that God has placed you in, and then he'll give you opportunities to reach more. We're all called to full-time ministry. Every one of us is called to everybody. Say this. Do this. Okay. Everybody, I said, say this. You're not saying anything. We're doing something. All right. But you know, most of the time, most people in the body of Christ don't get it. And when you talk this way, some people think, well, I don't think I want to go to that church because they just want me to do something. Listen, we're not trying to get people busy. Ministry is not just, you know, we volunteer throughout the week and can volunteer to usher or volunteer in children's church. But you know, that's just volunteering to help the body of Christ when we get equipped. That's not your ministry necessarily. Now, you may be called to help lead children's church or whatever. I'm not saying that. But your ministry is to the people you come in contact with, and you need a vision from God on how to reach them. And if you don't have one, get one. And if you've got one, don't quit. Don't overinflate yourself. Don't let pride get in. Don't get in despair. Don't quit. Don't allow the devil to beat you up. And I'm out of time, so let me pray for you. I was out of time 10 minutes ago. All right. Father, I just pray right now for each and every person here tonight, that by the grace of God, that you would empower us, strengthen us, lift us up, make us all that we need to be in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, grab somebody next to you, say, I want to know how to get born again, and they'll pray for you. And we've got some information we want to